Good morning and welcome to Market Minutes. Today is Tuesday, February the 7th, and I'm Mahalakshmi. Today, I'm going to talk about India's largest bank, the State Bank of India. SBI posted a fabulous set of numbers with net profit rising 68% to 14,205 crores on a year-on-year basis for the third quarter. This came on the back of a combination of factors: strong loan growth, margin expansion, lower credit cost or provisioning, and treasury gains. But the sentiment at the counter in the past few days has been marred by the Adani factor. So what should investors do? Well, first let's start with what is going right for SBI. The biggest positive for SBI is that its asset quality is decisively turning favorable. Gross NPAs have been falling and now it has fallen to 3.12%. Fresh accretion to bad loans has also consistently fallen to hit a record low of 0.21%. Provisioning coverage ratio in the past quarter stood at 76%, showing an improvement of 490 basis points on a year-on-year basis. And all of this means that now the bank needs to provision less, which means if it makes X amount of profit, all of it comes to the bottom line. Provisioning requirement will be minimal. Similarly, its restructured loans stood at 26,035 crores, which is now only 0.8% of the loan book. Also, special mention accounts, which show early stress, declined from 8,497 crore as of September to 4,747 crore in December. This again is below 0.2%, which is hardly something we should be concerned about. A healthy balance sheet is an essential criteria for growth for banks, so SBI now is very comfortable on that count. The next pillar is growth itself. In fact, SBI continues to post very strong loan growth. In the December quarter, it posted a strong 18% growth in loans overall. Within this, retail loans increased 18% as well, and corporate loans, which comprises 35% of the bank's domestic book, grew at the same pace. For the banking industry as a whole, corporate credit growth has remained muted for the past 7 or 8 years because there was no private investment happening and corporate houses were actually busy shrinking their balance sheet. But as the economy is now set to recover and a new capex cycle begins, this is set to change in the coming years, and SBI, like other leading banks, will also see robust growth. Now we come to the third pillar, which is SBI seeing profitable growth? SBI's net interest margin on the domestic book improved about 14 basis points to 3.69% compared to the September quarter. This is still lower than some of its rivals, for example, ICICI Bank or a HDFC Bank, but in itself, it's not a bad number. Plus, we are still in a rising interest rate scenario, which is good for banks' profitability because banks tend to reprice their loans first and wait to pass on the benefits of higher rates to depositors. As of now, a majority of SBI's loans, that is about 75%, is based on floating rate, which means that what it charges borrowers will automatically get repriced as the overall interest rates rise. So overall, SBI seems to have all the ingredients to continue to post a strong growth in earnings even going forward. One not so flattering point in the past quarter was the muted growth in deposits. Deposits has been a pressure point for all banks and SBI is no exception. SBI saw a growth of only 10%. You know, credit growth was 18%, but deposit growth was only 10% on a year-on-year basis. Low-cost deposits, which is current account and savings account deposits, grew even lesser by only 6%. But one silver lining is that SBI still has the lowest credit to deposit ratio amongst large banks, which means it can afford to have lower deposit growth for some time and that will not halt its growth. Another interesting feature this quarter was the decline in cost to income ratio, which was down 49%. This happened because the bank saw a 17% increase in operating expenses, but its top line grew much faster. For now, the bank is well capitalized, so growth is not a problem. So for the kind of promise that SBI holds, at the current price, it trades at less than one time book value for FY24 based on the bank's core book value, which is actually very attractive considering it produced a return on asset of more than 1% and return on equity of more than 15%. So you get to buy the bank at one time book, plus you get the subsidiaries of SBI free. And the subsidiaries are actually worth quite a bit. Analysts actually value these pieces, that is the life insurance company, the general insurance company, the asset management business, the credit card business, and SBI's 26% stake in Yes Bank. All these pieces put together come to around 225 rupees a share. Even if one were to apply a holding company discount, it is about 185 rupees a share. Now compare this valuation to its peers, large banks such as ICICI or HDFC Bank. ICICI currently quotes at about 2 times book and HDFC Bank quotes at about 2.6 times book. Why is the market treating SBI, such a marquee bank, as an also run bank, valuing it at half the multiple it is willing to give other large banks? Well, ICICI also went through exactly the same issues that SBI went through in terms of asset quality, because both of them lent to big corporates and went through a long cleanup phase. Obviously, a big part of the skepticism has to do with the fact that there is a certain risk perception related to it being a government-owned company. So if there is any problem in the banking system, it is expected to step up and do a cleanup act. For example, the Yes Bank issue. Of course, the purchase of Yes Bank turned out to be a profitable proposition for SBI, but you never know if it will always work out like that. The more immediate concern is also the Adani factor, which, by the way, only exemplifies this risk perception. But to be fair, SBI's exposure to Adani Group is 27,000 crore rupees or 0.9% of its outstanding loan book. According to SBI, a majority of these loans are also operating assets and projects that have been completed and have cash flows. There are no loans that have been given solely against the pledge of shares, and the bank holds adequate collaterals. So for now, if you really think about it, there doesn't seem to be a case for a default risk for SBI. Now, could there be more big bad loans in the bag? That also looks unlikely, because most of the big identified corporate accounts have been already provided for. It is very unlikely there will be huge unpleasant surprises that will burn a big hole in SBI's balance sheet. In which case, is SBI's valuation truly cheap, or is it just optically cheap but not exactly so? Well, therein lies the art of investing. How do you really price in the intangible negatives in a stock? In this case, the risk that SBI is actually a government-owned company. Just think about it. Are we really expecting SBI's books to be not even half as good as ICICI Bank's? Because that is the way the market is pricing it. So if you were to shut down SBI straight away, then you will get exactly what you pay. That is what a one-time price to book means. Plus a bit more than 200 rupees a share for its subsidiaries. On the contrary, if you buy a bank with 2 times price to book and the bank shuts down, you get half your money back. Because for every rupee you paid as price, the book value is only half. That is what paying a 2 times book value means. Of course, there are other nuances like how much do you pay for growth of a bank, etc., that come into question while valuing a bank. But here is the question you need to really think about. Is SBI doubly worse than a private sector bank? Or ask the same question in the exact opposite way. Is SBI at least half as good as a private sector bank? Therein lies the answer to where to put your money. On that note, have a great trading day. Catch you tomorrow, same time.